Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will help us to not only understand what you're saying to us, but to live it out with the help of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to the last of our series on the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. The writer to Proverbs wrote, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control." That's Proverbs 25 and verse 29. Lack of self-control is dangerous. It's dangerous for ourselves, and it's dangerous for other people. The dictionary defines self-control as the ability to control thoughts, emotions, and actions, especially in difficult circumstances or times of temptation. How's your self-control? Mine is fine as long as the chocolate box is still closed. After that, don't ask. But more seriously, do you and I speak words that we regret as soon as we've said them? Do we keep our resolve to not do certain things that we know are bad for us? Do we go to places we know we shouldn't go, even though we've promised ourselves we won't? Will we carry on watching that film or that program, even though we know it's not good for us? Will we listen to things that will cause us to stumble? Self-control. It's hard, but the Bible tells us that we should be self-controlled and tells us that we can be. There's so much that I could say in this sermon that we could have three separate weeks. So what I'm going to say is going to be quite skimmy, but let's see where we go. But as an aside, before the main sermon starts, self-control, what it isn't. It's not trying to be brave. It's not crying when we're sad. It's not asking for help and thinking we can manage alone. In one of the books I've got, it's a novel, but I think it makes sense. It's about a lady whose husband died several years before. She had kept up wonderfully. In fact, she had kept up too much wonderfully. She had not allowed herself the luxury of tears or grief. She had shown no emotion because she believed that was a sign of weakness. She asked for no help and told nobody. As a result, she became hard-edged, dogmatic, overworked, and sad. Even our Lord Jesus, when faced with grief and trouble, he wept. When facing death, he asked for his friends, and he cried out to his Father with loud cries and tears. So let our self-control be the right kind, not the wrong. Here in his second letter, Peter writes to the believers and tells them to add to their faith. Add to their faith. Not in order to be saved. Salvation comes through faith alone. Salvation doesn't come by faith and works, or faith and giving, or faith and church attendance, or faith and lots of other things that people might tell us we need to add. We are saved, we are forgiven, we become God's children through our faith and trust in Christ. But Peter here says, I want you to add to that faith. Faith is only the beginning. Becoming a Christian is only the start of a life lived with God and for God. And so he says, I want you to add to your faith in order to live out that faith and to live lives that are productive and useful. And if we read that list, what does he say? And it's very similar to the list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which mentions the fruit of the Spirit. So he writes, to your faith add goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection and love. Because if you add these things to your faith, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, but will help you to live out your Christian life. So what does it say in Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So why do we need self-control? And is it possible? We need to control our minds, our actions, and our speech. You say, is that possible? It is. So our mind. Why is it important to control our mind? To control what we think about. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 in the Authorized Version says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a person thinks, that's the kind of person they are. Jesus said, out of a person's heart, evil thoughts come. The psalmist wrote, our minds are cunning and can lead us astray. At Psalm 64 and verse 66. And if we want to have peace, we need to control our minds. As Isaiah wrote, 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm sure there are many other verses if you want to go home and look in your concordance. We need to control our mind. If we cannot control our minds, I suppose it would be impossible to control our actions and speech, because they both come from our mind. The way we talk comes from what is in here. The way we act comes from what is in here. What we believe, what we think, what we listen to, what we store up in our hearts. So how can we control our minds? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Psalm 119. We're not going to read it all, don't worry. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. How can a young person or anybody stay on the path of purity and right? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, if all we're putting into our minds is the bad, the sad, the depressing, what are we going to be thinking about? Think about what is good and right and pure. Think about what is helpful. Meditate on God's word. Don't just read it quickly and forget about it. Chew it over. Store it away. So that in those times when difficult thoughts come, when bad thoughts come, we can replace them with the good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 tells us that we should take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What do we do when we start getting thoughts that aren't right? Do we just keep on saying, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to think about it? That doesn't help, does it? Start thinking about something else. Pray about it. Sing if you want. Read the Bible. Recall what is in your mind that you've stored away. I mean, years ago, I don't know if it's still done, but we always used to have a verse that we learned every week, didn't we? When I was young, I could recite Psalm 1, Psalm 24, Psalm 100. I'm not quite sure I could recite them all now, but I can get bits of them. You know, if we store God's word in our hearts, it will be in our minds and in our brains and in our thinking. So when the bad stuff comes in, we can start to get rid of it by thinking about the good. If you don't like singing very much, put some music on, some worship songs, something that's going to praise God. But replace the bad thoughts with what is good. So we need to control our minds. And it's possible. We need to control our actions for our own good and for the good of others. How many people have done things in a split second that have ruined their own lives or other people's? Doesn't take long to do something wrong, does it? But more than that, we need to control our actions in order to please and glorify God. If we belong to him, if we put our faith and trust in him, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 tells us this. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, that price of Christ's death and precious blood. our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we should honour God with our bodies. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that we should live in a way that is holy and honourable. And he wrote to the Colossians that everything we do and say should be to the glory of God. What we do with our bodies, to our bodies, and put in our bodies, we need to control. Because we do not belong to ourselves. But to live like this, we need to live according to what the Holy Spirit wants, not what our own nature would desire. We need to be careful where we go, what we see, and what we allow to influence us. Now, I'm not so naive to believe that we can always escape the bad. We sometimes have to go to places we'd rather not go. We sometimes have to listen to things we'd rather not listen to, or see things we don't want to. You know, we live in the world, don't we? But what kind of choices are we making about where we go? Is it helpful to us? Is it a good witness to others? Is it honouring to God? What we see, that's getting even more and more difficult, isn't it now? Because even the children's programmes contain blasphemy. If we were to avoid everything, we wouldn't be watching television or listening to anything at all, would we? But we need to control what we see. If we know that something is coming up, and we know that it's going to be full and full and full of really bad language, of explicit scenes, are you going to watch it? Oh, I'll just see, it might not be that bad. Oh, but the first bit was good. I'll just go. Be careful what we see. Be careful what we allow to influence us. What are we listening to? How long are we listening to it for? It doesn't do us any good. I remember back in Sunday school days, you probably remember this. What do we used to sing? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. I know it's a bit old-fashioned, but it's true, isn't it? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you walk. And be careful, little lips, what you say. There's a song for you. Why? Because we're not to get in trouble with God. No, it's because there's a Saviour up above who's looking down in love. And he wants us to live lives that are good for us, good for others, and that glorify him. So let's be careful. And if you say, I can't do it, we're told that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Next time you say, oh, I can't help it. I've got to do it. I've got to see it because it's so good. I've got to go to that place because all my friends are going. I've got. No, you haven't got to. I haven't got to. Because if we put our trust in Christ, we can say, give me the strength to overcome and have self-control. And it's the Spirit within us who will help us to do that. Our tongue. We need to control what we say. Why? Because what we say is a reflection of who we are and what we've got in our hearts and minds. Psalm 19 and verse 14 tells us that our words should please God. And if we turn to James, there are some rather worrying words. Very challenging words about the way that we speak. Those who consider themselves religious, is that you and me? And yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Ooh. a bit of a challenge, isn't it? That we can't control what we say, God's not very pleased about our religion. And let's go over to chapter 3. We all stumble in many ways. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Ships are large. They're driven by strong winds, but the rudder makes them go wherever the pilot wants. But the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. The tongue is full of deadly poison. With our tongue we praise the Lord and our God, and with it we curse human beings who were made in God's likeness. Cursing and praise come out of the same mouth. This should not be. I tell you what, James is he's going for it there, isn't he? What we say is so important. Our speech can help or hinder. Our speech can harm or it can encourage. Our speech can lead to trouble or it can bring unity and joy. Our word should bring glory to God and encouragement to others. We all know that silly rhyme, don't we? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Names will never hurt me. Absolute rot. Have you ever been called something nasty? We all have, haven't we? It sticks, doesn't it? Has someone ever said anything good to you? Encouraged you? Thanked you? It sticks, doesn't it? Our speech is so important. But so often we speak, someone says something to us and straight away we reply. And then we think, what on earth did I say that for? What on earth did I say that for? How can we control our speech? Well, first of all, by controlling our minds. The psalmist in Psalm 141 verse 3 asks the Lord to place a guard over his lips. In other words, Lord, if I'm about to make a fool of myself or say something stupid or bad, help me to shut up. And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Think before you speak. You will have heard this before, I'm sure. Is it true? Or just what you've heard? Is it helpful? It might be true, but it might not be helpful for you to say anything about it. Is it inspiring? Or will it depress people and harm them? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Think and ask the Lord to put a guard over our lips. In our own strength, we cannot be self-controlled. We've all tried, haven't we? I'm not going to open that box of chocolates, and when it's open, I will only have two at a time. You don't want to know. Okay, you really don't. When I meet that person, I will not get cross. I will love them and be kind. I won't read that book because it's no good for me. I won't watch that television program. I won't go to that place. I won't indulge my habit. I won't. You're on the diet and someone offers you a donut. But more seriously, there are bigger things, aren't there? And we know from experience that making resolutions and trying and trying and trying will work for a while, maybe, but not for very long. We cannot do it in our own strength. Even the Apostle Paul wrote, the good things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I still do. So what's the secret? The secret is that God's Spirit is living within us. And it is He who is bringing and developing that fruit of the Spirit, including self-control. And day by day, we have to come to Him and ask Him to fill us afresh and help us to live out all the fruit of the Spirit, including self-control. And you see, if we say, I can't do it, it's impossible, it's my nature, it's this, it's that, I just can't. What does Peter say in his letter? God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. He's given us His salvation. That's the first thing that we need. If we want to change and become more like Jesus, first of all, we need to belong to Him. He's given us His word, written for our learning. He's given us His Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to change us and mold us and make us more like Jesus day by day. So let's pray that in God's strength and trusting in His precious true promises, that He will give us strength, that He will give us help, that we won't be tempted beyond what we can bear. There is a way out of temptation. Let us pray that we will live self-controlled lives that honour God and bless others. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul wrote these words. And it's not because we're afraid of God that we want to live like this, but because we know His love and His grace. The grace of God has appeared, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Our prayer every day should be this. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I think and do and say. To His glory. Amen. Let us pray. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Father, may this be our prayer, that You will fill us with Your Holy Spirit and enable us to live lives that please and honour You and that are a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we bless each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.